you hear me? Hear me in the back? All right, the city council meeting for Tuesday, October 6, 2020 is called to order. Invocation by Councilperson Annette Mitchell, pledge of allegiance to follow. Where you at, Annette?
Dear Lord, with grateful hearts, we pray you will protect our city from Hurricane Delta. We ask that you calm the winds of our anxiety and push back the waves of our fear. Help us to withstand this storm without injury to our citizens or damage to our homes and businesses. Continue to bless our employees for their work and dedication to storm recovery and preparation, and preparation and recovery. Lord, please give this council the wisdom and strength we need to make the best decisions we can for our residents and our guests. We ask this in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the roll, please, ma'am.
Councilmember Silver?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson? Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Peck?
Here. Okay, entertain a motion considering tonight's agenda.
Move to approve the agenda with 14 additional items. Resolution declaring a local state of emergency for Hurricane Delta. Resolution authorizing a change order for the Coastal Resources Center site work. Resolution declaring surplus property. Resolution authorizing a task order for engineering services for Orange Beach Middle High School wetlands fill. A resolution authorizing an agreement to use the Orange Beach Middle High School as an evacuation location. Resolution authorizing FY 2020 Port Security Program grant award agreement. A resolution authorizing a medical services agreement for firefighter physical exams. Resolution authorizing the emergency purchase of a vehicle for the fire department. Resolution authorizing the emergency purchase of 6 vehicles for the coastal resources and admin departments. Resolution authorizing the purchase of a lift truck for the street department. Resolution award the bid for Hurricane Sally roofing repairs. Resolution authorizing a storage rental agreement. Resolution authorizing construction of the right turn lane and commercial access improvements on Canal Road at the Commons. And the ordinance authorizing the issuance of general obligation taxable warrants.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Considering the previous minutes for the council meeting, Committee of the Whole, 18-2020. There are no objections. Any minutes we waive. Any corrections to the minutes? There are no corrections. The minutes stand approved as written. Announcements?
I have two announcements. The first is that we have a new interim director of the library, Megan Bain. And Megan, if you would stand up. She's right here. She has been with the library how many years now?
10 years.
So please be sure and greet her and tell her congratulations on the new director's position. And the other thing that someone brought to my attention was Jan Gorman, who was a long-term resident in our city, recently passed away. And she designed that flag that on the far right here, the Orange Beach flag, and that's what made them think about her. So I just wanted to let people know that she had passed. And she and Ed, her husband, did a lot for us as a city. So just wanted to let you know. Thanks.
Anyone else?
Mayor, I'd just like to say thank you. Thank you to our staff, our department heads, our employees. For the last few weeks of what we endured, what this community endured, but I just really want to say thank you. It's just what happened to our community is overwhelming. I know a lot of folks have been a lot of long hours, little sleep. Outpouring help throughout this community, from Island Church to the community center to everybody that just jumped in and helped neighbors out during Sally and after Sally was huge. But I just really want to I didn't get to see all the employees, but just tell everybody thank you so much for the hard work and efforts. And that's everybody.
Our staff.
Single group.
Our staff are second to none.
Yes.
They lead the way. They're the leaders. They take over, and we just follow. So, thank you.
And if it wasn't for our staff, a lot of things wouldn't have come into fruition and to play. And I'm not going to sit here and bash the county or state level or anything like that, but they are just spot on. I just can't say it enough. Thank you.
Anyone else? All right. Moving to auditing of accounts.
Move to certify cash requirements with no related interest, so within the budget, appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Move to certify the cash requirements with related interest in swift supply, within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
I'm
second. Any opposed? Moving to new business resolution. Resolution declaring emergency affecting public health safety and convenience due to Hurricane Delta.
Move to adopt resolution.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution of change order number 3, Asphalt Services, Coastal Resources Center site work, $27,494.50.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution declaring certain personal property owned by City of Orange Beach a surplus unneeded. Authorize the mayor to dispose of such property.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of a task order with TTL, Engineering Design, Bid, Construction, Administrative Services, Field Wetlands, Orange Beach Middle High School, $110,000.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion?
Yes, sir. If I could. So this is the wetlands that we had back behind public work for many years. Now, this $110,000, you know, we don't have to mitigate that site. There you are, Philip. Thank you. I read into it today. So exactly what all are they going to do for this?
So we have a site plan that was submitted to the Corps when we became eligible for non-jurisdiction. So we saved roughly $500,000 in mitigation.
That's right.
So now, based on that site plan for track, field house, and wood shed, and so on, we can develop the construction documents to get ready to go to bid. Even though this task order includes through the bid, we would stop short of that based on timing. The construction documents will remain fresh. And when you guys decide, if you decide to move forward with that construction, we'll be ready.
Okay. Thank you.
That's about 6.5 acres, 7 acres of wetland.
Yeah. About 6 of wetland.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's filled. That gives a huge amount of breathing room for our development and growth in that spot. So it's a critical area to allow parking, practice fields, et cetera, et cetera. So we got a really good deal for the Corps on how to mitigate this or how to deal with this. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of an agreement with the Baldwin County Board of Education to use the Orange Beach Middle High School as an evacuation location in the event of a major storm.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of fiscal year 2020 Port Security Program Grant Award Agreement, U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Rapid Response Vessel, Police Department.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of a medical services agreement for firefighter physical exam, Southern Rapid Health Care.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the purchase of a vehicle for the fire department from state bid, $28,963.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The resolution authorizing the emergency purchase of 6 vehicles, Alabama Department of Transportation, Hurricane Sally response, $171,150.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion?
Can we just say what those are for?
Okay.
Philip Wade?
I'm sorry. Yes, we had several that were damaged during the storm. Some flooded, some windows and tops taken off and rained into, etc. One of them is an additional vehicle, not a replacement vehicle. It was a tow vehicle. We didn't have a second tow vehicle in the city to be able to move heavy equipment around, so we were able to drive the equipment up and down the town road. So we got a second additional tow vehicle and a trailer to do that. And then one of the vehicles replaced Ken's vehicle, which was flooded as well.
Thank you. Well, I have him standing. Can I ask him a side question?
Yep.
Osprey Nest. I've had several requests wondering what the outcome is. Can you give me somewhat of an answer just to take back to people of what our plans are in the future and how we're going to rebuild those?
So we'll evaluate those going into the off season, and we've already had, I think, two new ones constructed off site that are just waiting to be put up. Our previous one manager. So we'll just continue to add to that, and we'll probably do a whole installation while we've got a lift truck and a crew doing that type of work.
Thank you, Wade.
Turn that mic up for me. I'm hard hearing, but I couldn't hear well. Okay, any other questions for Wade? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the purchase of a lift truck for the street department. Sourcewell, $34,500.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution awarding the bid for Hurricane Sally roofing repairs. Porter Roofing Contractors, $95,025 per unit, pricing for a term of 1 year.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of a storage rental agreement with FM Holdings, Keel Storage.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? This is for our storage of parts, food, things of that nature, in case.
Yes.
I might even say in case. You know why. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the single source purchase associated with Canal Road widening project for construction of a right turn lane and commercial access improvements. Canal Road at the Commons from John G. Walton Construction Company, $147,020.26.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion?
It's looking good.
Okay, what we're doing is, because we don't want to lose a lane to construction of Canal Road, we're shifting their crews to diesel lane and improvements in our diesel lane at the Commons and one at Cypress Village, one at the Louder Place, so that we can keep them busy, not have to pay a mobilization fee, but preserve five lanes as we have, because of all the construction traffic and the debris removal. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Okay, a public hearing. Ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Wharf PUD modification, Wharf East Side Storage. The way this works is, Griffin will give a little presentation, then questions from the council, then we'll open the floor up to the public, close the floor, and then come back to council and move on. All yours, Griffin.
Yes, this is applications for the Wharf East Side Storage. It's on the east side of Wharf Parkway East, southeast intersection of Wharf Parkway East and Wharf Lane. This is an approval of a major modification to the PUD master plan for the following. Number one, to construct a mini warehouse storage facility containing four buildings and nearly 130,000 square feet of gross floor area, and to construct an exterior storage area to the north of that, costing more than 33,000 square feet, that would be constructed at gravel. The Planning Commission considered this at the August 2020 meeting and gave the project a favorable recommendation. Next slide. This just shows the project location that is to the west of the Cypress Village townhouse section, and says on the east side of the Wharf Parkway. This is an overview of the main warehouse storage area. Again, you're going to have four buildings. Building A is going to be right next to the Wharf Parkway East roadway. It's going to be a two-story building, gross floor area nearly 77,000 square feet. They'll have some office space on the first floor, about 1,100 square feet. Directly behind that, you're going to have building B, and that is a one-story building. One side of it, on the west side, will be enclosed, and then the east side will be open canopy storage. Footprints 29,600 square feet, 36 storage units. And buildings C and D, those are on the back side of the main warehouse development along the east property line. These one-story buildings, each building will be 11,700 square feet, and each will contain 9 total units. If we go to the next slide, the exterior storage area will be north of the main warehouse area. There will be some wetlands and proposed drainage pond dividing these two areas. They'll have a privacy fence along the north side and on the south, east, and west. They're proposing a vinyl black coated chain link fence. Again, this is 33,000 square feet of area. It's going to be composed of gravel. Next slide. Looking at the architectural elevations of the buildings, building A being right next to the road, it'll have stucco and masonry veneer on this north, west, and south sides along the road, and the metal panels on the back of the east side. Buildings B, C, and D will have also the metal panels on metal sided on all their sides. Next slide. So the requested deviations, this is number one, dealing with building C and D, those two buildings that are on the rear side. The will not be enclosed within the rear side of the building, facing the Cypress Village. It will not be in an enclosed fence area, and the code requires, if it's not enclosed in a solid fence area, that it has to meet the architectural guidelines in Article 10. But those sides are supposed to be metal. If we go to our next slide. And this sort of relates to that requested deviation number two, is using the existing vegetation and trees along the east property line shared with Cypress Village instead of planting new trees and adding new landscaping. If you look at the top, there's, if you see, there's about going to be 22.5 feet between the building C and D and the property line. And then you have about 40 feet of vegetation, and then there's a drainage area, and then probably 107 feet between the property line and the building for the Cypress, one of the townhouse buildings for Cypress Village. And if you look on the pictures below the screen, or down the bottom of the screen, this is the pictures of the existing vegetation that's along the property line. If we go to the next slide. And the requested deviation number three is enclosing the exterior storage area and the metal siding main warehouse areas with a black vinyl coated chain link fence instead of a solid privacy fence. Code does require a solid privacy fence, but during the Planning Commission meeting, they said due to the length and everything that it would be probably more desirable to have the chain link instead of the privacy fence due to the upkeep that you have to do with the privacy fence. Okay, next slide. Request deviation number four is using existing vegetation set of edge materials along the east and north property lines. Deviation number five, using preserved wetland areas between the main warehouse and the exterior storage area for the hardwood tree requirements for the vehicular use area. And number six of the requested deviations, foregoing the 10-foot perimeter landscape strip along the Wharf Parkway East, and instead using the existing palm trees that you see in the picture as part of that requirement. If we go to our next slide. And so the conditions of the approval was City Council approval of those requested deviations. They've submitted architectural elevation showing shutters being added to the south side of the buildings B and D facing Wharf Parkway and Canal Road, and then adding a note to the plans indicating that the wetlands will remain in its current natural state and undisturbed.
Thank you, Rick. Any questions for Griffin? Okay, if not, we'll open it up to the public. Any comments, questions? Yes, sir, Jim.
The original site plan for the wharf had connectivity via golf cart path, pedestrian path from Cypress Village to the wharf. Is that storage unit right there on that line, does that impede that connectivity, which is currently being used but is not there? Because if it does, it's just going to push those golf carts out into the, to the road, and I know we're looking at connectivity.
I just like a goat path. I think that was just something they created. I don't know. Did we, Ursula, can you answer that question?
Yes, sir. Ursula Godwin, Sawgrass Consulting. So the existing pathway that currently connects between Tompkins Village and the wharf is actually not a dedicated easement or anything of any kind. It's just something that's happened over time. People have sort of cut out the hedges there. I think that's what they call lot two, where they come out of Tompkins Village. And they've just sort of been, you know, traversing back and forth across the wharf property. You know, obviously the wharf doesn't necessarily like it, but they don't also stop it because, I mean, it is people sort of coming there to the wharf. As far as this site goes, that I'm not sure that little trail will be affected, but I know that, you know, obviously that's not something that anybody wants to be a, you know, thoroughfare, you know, for traffic back and forth.
Right. But we also, we know that we're building a sidewalk from Wharf Parkway East, sidewalk that dead into the canal, down Canal Road all the way to Cypress Village. So they'll have, are you talking about, you're talking about from Cypress Village, right?
Right. I know that the original master plan had the connectivity between the two of them, and it's currently getting used, and you're right, it's like the goat path.
Well,
right.
I've never seen that.
There's not a master plan for the wharf initially in that area was to be all retail that actually backed up to the far east property line of the wharf, so it would be right adjacent to Cypress Village. And then everything that would be from Wharf Parkway to that retail actually was, you know, all parking, large parking lots for that. So I've seen the original PUD. I've never seen the trail or the connectivity that Jimmy's talking about. So, you know, I agree with Lane. I'm not sure that it's there. I'm not to say that there's not something that's out there that I've never seen before, but my recollection on that is that there is no connectivity between the two.
And I don't think Lot 2 in Cypress Village will allow it once that's built out.
Correct.
Correct. I might be wrong with that.
I was going to say,
and that may have gotten changed. It's just a safety thing. I think this is a great storage facility. I just know that the golf carts are getting utilized. Yeah. And
well, we'll have a sidewalk.
Sounds like y'all got a plan in place anyway. So.
Well, there'll be a sidewalk, and it's being engineered from the entrance into Cypress Village west to the sidewalk that runs north. So there will be connectivity. So we're working on that now.
Or they'll lose a few more hedges.
Yeah.
More than likely.
I get it.
Well, you know, the Tom Thumb site's right there. Then there's going to be a small area that's remaining that's not, that doesn't have a plan yet. But, you know, obviously with this thing potentially going in, you know, I imagine it's going to cause a lot of potential growth over there.
Thanks, Chief. Any other questions?
Yours.
Anybody else? Thank you, buddy. Good job. Appreciate it. All right, we'll close the public hearing and move to number two. Todd, this is a Tanner PUD modification. Griffin?
Yeah, this is for Cottages of Tannen. It's a 14-lot residential subdivision as to the west of Tannen. That was approved in 2018. The two-bedroom cottages originally proposed the front door as the only exit, and it was later recommended a second exit or a side door be added due to those cottages. And have an elevated foundation, porch stairs needed for the side door. The master plan calls for the lots to have a 5-foot setback on both sides. The cottages are positioned on the lots with side setbacks of 5 feet on one side and 11 and 12 feet on the other side. Driveways are located on the side with the 11 to 12 feet. Next slide. Lots B and C were initially proposed with the sides on the side of the 12 feet, which complies with the master plan. Stairs were proposed located on that side, but it was in the driveway. Planning requested 9 to 8 feet be located between the stairs and the side parking lot for parking. For lots B and C, was switched to the sides and placed on the side of the 5-foot setback, which encroaches into the to the setback. Planning became aware of the switch and felt a minor modification was needed to be consistent with a similar waiver request for the development to the west or what we call Beach Village. Now, in Article 5 of the zoning ordinance, it does allow for a 4-foot encroachment into the 10-foot side setback on residential properties for stairs. This waiver request will apply to 12 to 14 lots. Stairs of the railings will have a width of 4 feet. The porch at the top will have dimensions of 4x4. Lots B, C, D, E, and F, G will have stairs facing each other, which means there's going to be 2-foot separation. However, those stairs and porches will be constructed of concrete as required by a building and fire codes. Those stairs and porches will face outward. So the planning has no issue with requests. Each cottage having a second exit that is desirable. The porch stairs needed due to the cottage elevation, and having the porch stairs in the driveway is not desirable from a parking standpoint. If we look at this, to the left, you have the cottages of 10 subdivision plat. To the right, the areas that are indicated in yellow those are the lots where the variances will apply. And if we go to the next slide, the next slide is going to be a detailed site plan just showing the house footprint, where the stairs are going to be located, and the driveway location. And if anybody has any questions.
Matt, what did Planning Committee say about this?
This is a minor modification.
Well, I disagree. I believe it's a major modification because had this been on the plans originally, it wouldn't have been approved. And if this indeed was changed and noticed, and that's why it's coming back to us as a minor modification, I would have never approved it in the first place. I'd have told them to have less lots. And because this goes to the core of every single thing we deal with is people in a normal neighborhood have 10 and 20 and 30 foot setbacks. These PUDs get a 5-foot setback, and then when they don't like it because it impedes on their driveway, they force it even further. Now we're going to have a 1-foot on each side setback. And maybe I'm missing it, and if I am, I'm more than willing to hear it, but this is a big deal.
The issue, Jeff, is, and I don't disagree with you, but the issue is somewhere, somehow, that should have been called ahead of time, either by us or by someone, but that it only had one ingress-egress point. In a fire, you need two. So I don't know I don't want to point fingers. This, I think, is a fix for cottages being sold with only one way in and one way out. That's the reasoning behind it. Right, wrong, or but that's the justification.
I understand. It would have never, ever been approved, though. And that's the core. And
go ahead.
This PUD was approved. When it was approved, there was a recommendation by council to have a second door. This is an effort by the developer to respond to the recommendation by council to have a second door. It's not required by the building code. This is merely a response by the developer on an approved PUD to address a recommendation from council.
Let me ask you, was it approved based on a second doorway?
I don't believe it was a contingency. I think it was a recommendation by council. And this is the effort by the developer to respond to the recommendation by council.
And look, I think it's a safety issue, and I think it's wonderful. But if this was my home, they'd make me take out bedroom space to put it underneath the house to go on the second floor instead of doing this and going within a foot of a sidewalk. And I just think there's the point of it just goes, and you've heard me before. This 5-foot setback issue, and then when this gets shoved at us, to me, it's almost shoved down our throat. We're backed in a corner. If we say no to it, it's a safety issue. But to me,
it come out the back.
It's already been approved, but this is a recommendation, Jeff.
A recommendation for second access. It didn't say where that second access goes. It just says second access. So this is the easiest way to get a second access. And my only complaint is you're talking now stairs 1 foot off your property line and 1 foot off your property line.
Well, they can both hold hands if they go down.
They could. So I don't, I mean, I'm going to approve it, but I disagree with how this has happened, and I don't like this being presented because it just puts us in a bad spot. I mean, so what do we tell the next guy that wants a one-foot variance, and then we have to deal with Cecil and his variance board? He's chewing us out because we allowed a variance from 1 foot somewhere. And these guys are encroaching all the way to the edge. You know, what do you tell the guy with a swimming pool that wants to go to his lot line, and we're making him go 5 feet back? And he can't build a swimming pool because he can't push it up. Is it fair that we allow these guys to do it? You guys, I'm not fussing. Don't take it. I'm just saying this is just my heart space of how I feel about it, of this situation.
Well, it's our fault.
It is.
We approved it. So we can't point nobody with the man in the mirror. But secondly, when the recommendation was made, I don't know that anybody was envisioning in the setback. And I don't know if I know what the floor plan on the bottom floor looks like. I would have thought that I would have said you got a back door. It goes into the backyard.
I think they're elevated, and so it would be up in the air.
Okay, then why can't you have stairs in the back?
May I comment?
Yeah.
I live in a subdivision that was developed in 1994. All of our stairs are in a setback. This is a long-standing solution to 5 foot easements. And you'll see them throughout the city. I personally have no problem with it. I would rather...
You're from Chicago. I'm not being ugly with that. I'm playing with you. But
you're just saying you're right. So knowledgeable about this. But I am talking about our change. And we have used this solution pretty much forever. And I like the solution. It's open, it's airy. It doesn't require walls around it. You're not looking at a neighbor's wall. You're looking at open stairs. And this project, although it did comply with the ordinance, there is no requirement for a second entrance.
Correct.
I think that's a recipe for disaster, and I much prefer this.
Okay, I just want to know. I know that I couldn't build a set of stairs over into my 10-foot setback.
But yes, you could.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can I?
Yeah.
One of us needs a nap.
Both of us need a nap.
My point is, 10-foot setback, I could build 4 feet over into the, if I remember correctly.
You're allowed to build 4 feet into the
setback. Okay, well, whatever it was, there's a certain point that I need to go from.
Yeah, 4 feet is the limitation.
Why can't it go out the back? Why can't it be in the back instead of on the side setback?
Well, then you have the same scenario then potentially with that adjacent property. You'd be impacting that adjacent property owner. But as far as why it can't be in the back, that would be a question for the developer.
What is the rear setback on this?
5 feet.
5 feet.
So you'd be 4 feet into that 5 feet.
We must have all been on drugs up nine, I swear.
No, this is not that uncommon. And I believe that the rooms in the back are sleeping quarters. So you would not put an entrance.
The Tannen development is a new urban type development with head, which was originally master planned to have reduced setbacks. That was the overall concept of the Tannen development.
And you're doing a really good job here. I get that. I understand. But I'm just trying to understand. I don't know that that recommendation would have ever been, I guess for me, it would have been out the back. But since we're beating a dead horse, the point is, if that is the only solution, then it's the only solution. But I agree, we got to have a second door.
It's the only solution.
Yeah. We've got to have a second door. Would y'all agree on that?
Agree.
We got to have a second way in and out.
Yes, and it was our suggestion and our request. It was the council that requested that.
Well, I understand that, but I just don't know that I remember us. I'm assuming it was out the back, but I may be completely wrong. Forgive me. I'm sorry.
I will tell you, I assumed it was an underneath staircase, that you would take kitchen space or somewhere like that, and you would have made it to come down to meet the compliance underneath. And Kitten, look, I'm just voicing my concern that I face every time we hit these 5 foot setbacks. I think I understand, and this was a beautiful development. It just always has a little bit of me that we push in this section to allow a developer to do it. And we tell our homeowners, you can't do it most of the time unless they go get a variance.
Well, I would like to bring to your attention that if you look at throughout the city where this has been done, there's a different sentiment and there's a different plan out in the Beach Overlay District. This is the tourist area. These are the vacation rental areas. The majority of the homes on the beach are not traditional neighborhoods, and therefore this type of development in that location would not have the same impact on the surrounding community as it would, say, in East Orange Beach or in Louder Place. So I would say there is a somewhat different dynamic going on in this location, especially with the Village of Cannon with their reduced setbacks.
Thank you for that explanation.
But it does somewhat impact the city, because the more you pack in and the closer these people are together, the more traffic and more cars we have. So it does impact us as residents. And I understand why they're doing it, I understand what they're doing and why they're doing it, but everything kind of has an effect on everything else. It does affect us as far as trafficking and shoving more and more people on our roads.
Just directly west, you have the cottages, Romar? No, the cottages, beach cottages, beach village cottages. And if you look at those, it's basically the exact same layout as this layout. So this is kind of what's going on in the Beach Overlay District, which is different than our traditional neighborhood.
I am. And I
just don't remember this well enough to even be intelligent enough to talk on it, but majority of every project we've done where there was a 5-foot setback, it was because it created a lesser density than a multi-story.
That's correct.
Building. I don't know about this one. I just can't remember this one, so forgive me. But I know that in defense of the 5-foot setbacks in another place, it is generally in places where there could have been a condo or apartments. So there was a justification for why we did it. Right. This one, I'm not sure. I can't remember. But anyway, we got to have a second door. So pragmatically, I don't know if there's any other option.
Yeah, I think, Tony, my only point was, had this been shown to us with the PUD, we would have never done this. We would have said, lose a house and space it out further. And to come to us after the fact, we don't really have an option. It's a safety first. It's for the same reason we buy ambulances and do what we do with our fire and police department. It's a safety issue. But these homes that are rentals now, I think we are moving more and more that these are going to be full-time owners. It's no different than condos. The more and more people are buying these condos to come here full-time. And, you know, they're much more rental, but we may see a day where there are a lot more that these are our residents as well. Now, Kid, I thank you for the explanation. It makes perfect sense. And I appreciate it.
And y'all did nothing but what we asked you to do. Believe me, y'all did exactly what we asked you to do. So it's all here. The discussion is where the issue is. So thank you.
I've got a question, if I may. We are preparing to come to you with some amendments to the building code and the fire code. Basically, the building code, two exits are required for everything, with the exception of single family residential. Would you like us to bring an amendment to that and require two exits from single family? So this doesn't happen again.
And I've been doing this a long time, and that's why I called Kid up here, because I thought two was required.
Everything except single family.
I thought two was required, so that's why I didn't understand why I had something one. So I absolutely agree.
Chief, would it help our fire rating if there were two exits on single family?
It wouldn't help your fire rating at all, but it would. It's just a safety issue.
I mean, the fire that happened the night after the storm, they went out two different exits. And that was part of the whole fuss, because they couldn't find each other, because they went out two different exits.
In the residential code, it requires one exit door, and then it requires an emergency escape and rescue opening out of the bedrooms. But it does not require two exit doors. But we would love to make that amendment if you would.
Well, I'm like Chief.
We'll bring it to you to consider.
I'm like Chief. It's common sense.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I think it would make sense to ask some builders, just to see what the cost difference is and what it changes on them and what it does to our setbacks. You know, if we're going to go to that for a second exit, then maybe we need to look at variances the same for a second exit, the same as we did here, to make it fair, because I would rather the safety if we're going to do that.
Right, and that's the reason that they are proposing concrete, because we did tell them that it had to be non-combustible. You just can't put combustible material that close together with no fire separation. So that's the reason they're going to concrete.
So the developers are doing what they're asked.
Yes.
And they've done nothing but do exactly what we've approved and asked. So we're not pointing fingers at them either. So let me ask you this. I can't think of any projects. I mean, have we had projects approved? We only had one door, one way in. I can't
there think. Are, yes, sir. There are. I could think of several. But they're all single-family, one or two-family. If you're familiar with those duplexes on Canal and Armadillo, I think there's four duplexes right there. They only got one exit. There's been several. Most builders provide two exits anyway. When I say exits, I mean doors. But there are several around that only have one.
So what, do they have to have a ladder or something to throw out a ladder to get their certificate of occupancy? Out of that, if there's one, is there something we make them do for that exit, besides, even though it's not a staircase?
Well, it's not an exit. It's an emergency escape and rescue opening. So that's so a firefighter with a pack on can get in the building.
Got you. Okay.
It's a big window.
Egress. It's an egress issue.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yes.
I'm just thinking out loud. How easy it is to get in. What is the window dimension required to meet the that escape standard?
If it's on the first floor, it's 5 square feet. If it's on the second floor, it's 5.7 square feet.
Okay. My point being, that is a very small opening to try to get a family out if blocked by the fire from the door and a firefighter in or out.
I'm on the labor requirement too. Yes. That's
okay.
And we'll bring you that amendment when we bring you some of the other ones.
That's common sense. I mean, I agree with you. Y'all good with that? Mm-hmm. Everybody? Okay. All right. Do you know what? Let's go back to. Looks like that was an appeal. I apologize. I skipped that. So, do I have a motion to grant the wharf PUD modification appeal?
No, I'm sorry. That's my fault. That's the wrong case there. That was
from us. Okay, you're confusing me.
You're good.
Okay, so we're going back to unanimous consent?
Not yet, so you...
But, I mean, we will, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, I'm good. We all do mulligans tonight. Mm-hmm. Okay. Another public hearing. Cypress Village PUD modification. Resubdivision of Lot 2, Cypress Village subdivision.
The notice was postponed.
It's postponed.
Okay, thank you for that. And so was the walk the
right. There goes our golf cart path.
All
right. Moving to ordinances of the first reading, ordinance meeting ordinance number 172. Wharf Eastside Storage. Okay, first reading, cottage intended PUD modification.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson? Oh, sorry. Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kent?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kent?
Yes. So in addition, ordinance authorizing issuance of levy payment, $15,660,000, principal amount, general obligation taxable warrant, dated delivery. The reason we're doing this is we're going to save $900,000, roughly. Okay, you tell me.
$996,000, almost a million.
To refinance a current bond we have in the sewer department. We're not borrowing money yet.
Yeah.
All right. Can I make a motion for unanimous consent?
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for any consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Call roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kent?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kent?
Yes.
Thank you, Ford.
Okay, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay, we're going to move right into committee of the whole. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, committee of the whole, call to order Tuesday, October 6th, 2020. Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson? Councilmember Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Packer?
Here. Consideration of previous minutes, special call, council meeting, flood damage prevention board, regular council meeting, committee of the whole, special call, council meeting, I'm sorry, committee of the whole of 9/1/2020, and then special call, council meeting work session at 9/14 and 9/25/2020. Those will be moved forward for review. Under new business, miscellaneous discussion rescheduled November 3rd, council meeting and committee of the whole to November 2nd. Does that go, y'all?
It's our swearing in.
Yeah. But it's also November 3rd is election day.
Election day.
So the Monday instead of the Tuesday. Everybody good with that? Okay. Set a meeting, Solid Waste Authority, October 20th, 2020, 4:45. Y'all good with that?
Yes.
Resolution authorized execution of the collection services agreement with Arbor Professional Services. Y'all good?
What's that?
Where's MK?
That is part of our.
Is it the.
Who's MK?
Is it the third party?
Collection.
Reimbursement?
This would be our bad debt collection policy for the EMS building. So finance, with a lot of help from the board, we've identified a vendor who gives us a little bit of a discount for using their services because they're also working with our new billing vendor for EMS services. So it gives us a way to actually collect on some of the debts that are not being paid.
Are there a lot?
Well, that's why we switched billing vendors, because okay. I will just tell you our last billing vendor. We can never really get information out of them on what we were not getting. So, yeah.
Perfect.
So we don't know if it was bad debt or bad collection.
We don't know.
Right.
So we're going to go back and reevaluate. So we do need to know those numbers before we make a decision on the 30th of the service.
Okay.
All right. Set a public hearing date, Bluffs of Orange Beach PUD, setback encroachments, 11/3/2020. Y'all good with that?
Yes.
Okay.
That would become the second.
Well, the second. That's right.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Okay. Time, public comments. Anybody got anything? Anybody got any questions, thoughts, concerns?
A couple of Facebook.
Anybody?
A couple of Facebook questions.
Okay. I got a couple of Facebook questions. We'll get.
Felix.
We'll get there. We'll come back to it.
Yeah, Felix.
Give me a question.
Okay. Do you want me to say the person's name? It's Jackie Whitehead. And if we need the road, they need a road, a little bridge raised leading to Jubilee Point Road off Marina Road desperately. It is shameful that it floods so bad that our neighborhood cannot get out of during storms.
Ken, we are applying for funds.
Do what?
We are applying for grant funds, correct? Yeah. You may say the specific grant.
Yes, we're meeting with representatives from USDA for an NRFOCS grant fund that is available following hurricane events. We're actually meeting with them tomorrow to go over the potential for a 75-25 split funding with them to raise the road and improve the capacity for that tax system. Probably go to a box culvert.
How would that,
in the best case?
You're just talking about where the culvert's at now, the bulkhead on the side, the entrance of the Jubilee Point?
Correct.
You're going to just raise that?
Correct. The part that goes underwater.
Okay.
During, I mean, we can't raise the whole, I don't believe we're going to attempt to raise the whole road because the road receives runoff from the lots.
Right.
But in the area where it's not receiving runoff from the lots, we can potentially raise that portion, but we have to be careful because there's issues with regard to wetlands. And with this grant, you have to, I think, do the work within a certain period of time, and getting into wetlands can complicate it, but we're going to get answers to that tomorrow.
Okay. Could you hear that answer?
Yes. Okay. We have several questions about resident evacuation for the storm. Several questions.
Okay, question. Go ahead.
No, just they want to know when it will be called and.
The governor will make the decision on whether there will be a mandatory evacuation. The governor. Does rely a lot on our input, mine and Robert Kraft and Mayor Collier from Dolphin Island. We have a mandatory evacuation of all non-residents and non-business owners or anybody here doing business. So essentially all tourists are being asked to leave now. Tomorrow being Wednesday, landfall is expected Friday night, so we're looking at 48 hours of tomorrow night. Sometime tomorrow, we ought to have a better feel for what this is going to do. We'll have another conference call tomorrow, sometime probably after lunch, I'm assuming, and try to make a decision prior to 48 hours out. There's a lot that goes into that. Hurricane Sally did everything a storm was not supposed to do. So it makes us skittish, and it makes you want to declare an evacuation just because you think you should. But in reality, for many, many years, we never declared evacuation with a hurricane such as Sally in the Gulf with the path predicted, the winds the way they were. We would have never made it mandatory. I want us to get back to where we use common sense and our history and probability to make predictions, not because we had one storm do something we didn't expect. I think that if that storm tomorrow afternoon is a Category 4 in the middle of the Gulf somewhere, then I think that creates a different dynamic. But they're predicting a 4 across the Yucatan Peninsula into the southern Gulf, but then slowing down and actually becoming a 1 at landfall. And right now the path is in Louisiana somewhere. But again, we saw what that... If you're in the cone, there's a chance. So, that's a long-winded answer, but sort of a summary of where we're at. But by tomorrow, hopefully, we'll be able to make a call one way or the other. Bill, I know you've been talking. Have you heard anything counter to that?
Nothing new, and I appreciate the city's leadership in all this. I really appreciate it.
The mandatory evacuation now would be hard on a lot of people leaving their homes in disrepair, not be able to pack. I mean, this we've got to do it with great caution and great thoughtfulness, because it's not like the normal mandatory evacuation. So, and I don't know that a voluntary evacuation order doesn't make the most sense, because there's going to be a lot of people that are not going to leave their home no matter what you do. You're not going to pry them out with a big screwdriver. So we got to we need to be thoughtful about what we do. Is that the last one? Okay. Was anybody else with anything else? Or, yes, sir, Jim.
I have a hair salon that's asking if their clients are able to access the island and still come to the business if they're not a resident.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yes. Businesses will go about as long as they want to go about until either evacuation. We're not heavy-handed. We're not going to go around and tell people what to do. If we make a mandatory evacuation, that is a strong recommendation in a mandatory sentence. So, you get my point. But we're not going to pry people out of their homes or out of their businesses and make them leave.
Mayor, I think this also reminded that this would have been Shrimp Festival weekend, so there was a lot of people that were still keeping their reservations. And then, if I'm not mistaken, Baldwin County is out Friday and Monday for fall break. Is that right?
And Tuesday.
So, you do have kids out of school, so that's actually good for the family to stay together because school's out for fall break anyway.
It's also the 3 extra days of snapper season, 10th, 11th, and 12th.
That's going to be a little choppy.
If I come on, I'll ride with you.
I don't want them that bad. Before Winn-Dixie. That's right, not Winn-Dixie anymore, is it?
Go Patty.
Yeah, go Patty. I'm assuming that will be canceled, I would think. I would hopefully we'd reschedule those 3 days for later.
Same. Mr. Remote, you got the mic?
Do what?
They announced that they're still going forward with it.
Yeah, but they also announced that if there's inclement weather, they will grant additional weekends until the quota is met. I read that on an email they sent me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to assume hurricanes inclement.
Inclement weather, I think, falls under that category.
Not down here.
Another week.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Any other questions? No, we're way ahead of schedule. We're at 200,000 cubic yards, 15,000 cubic yards of marine debris. What else, Ken?
38 to 42 trucks.
Yeah, 8,000 trucks. How many?
They said 38 to 42 running. So
no, we got 38 to 42 trucks running. We got all the trucks running that we could possibly run, because right now our yard is at full capacity. So essentially, every time a truck goes in, a truck has to go out, taking debris to the landfill. So we're in full capacity. We're way ahead of schedule. But at this point, it's only going to move at the speed it moves at. But as soon as we clean the street, it fills right back up. I can't either. I'm sorry.
They just picked up what they could and they left a lot. So what is, as citizens, what do we need to do?
Well, they have not. If they left it, it's because they haven't done right-of-way cleanup yet. They're not wasting time manicuring each site. They're getting the bulk up and then moving to the next one. And they'll keep making circles as long as it comes out. Then we, along with them, at the end, will come back, manicure, resod, reseed, whatever, and hopefully beautify all the right-of-ways. But right now, it's just a revolving door of picking up and then coming back. But we have trusted Crowder Gulf to identify the pattern they want to put in place because they know how to move the most efficiently on the front end. And that's where we're at. Right now, there's debris everywhere, so they're taking the path of least resistance to the greatest amount of debris up into the yard. And I go back to the piles. People that mix their piles get skipped sometimes because the trucks are very specific. Some are vegetation, some are C&D, construction and demolition, some are white goods like appliances. When it's all in one pile, that truck probably will skip it. If they see three or four vegetation piles down there that are nice and clean, they're going to go where they get the least resistance. So people are calling and asking why they're getting skipped, and when I go look, and I said, well, you mixed all your stuff, so you may be the last one to get picked up. So I hope that answers your question. But we have had a panic the last 12, 16 hours of people worried about the debris in their yard, maybe wanting their debris picked up. But that's essentially every street in every neighborhood, and we just can't get to it. It's just physically impossible. Yes, ma'am.
I know everyone's doing a super job, and I really appreciate it, but I would like you to put the cemetery somewhere on your list, please. Because there are some huge limbs just hanging. Several trees are over, but if anybody goes in there, it's taking your life in your own hands.
The cemetery will be addressed at the point in time we can spare them, but it will be.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's special. My mom and dad are there, so I promise you, it will be.
Wanted it on the list somewhere.
Okay.
Thank you.
You said you're on the list?
No, I'm going to keep on the list.
I thought you were going to list being a cemetery.
No.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No.
And that'll be city crews taking care of it.
Anybody else? I hate to adjourn.
Hey, one second.
Do what?
One second. Over here.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, I just want to give you guys praises. You know, I stood in front of my faculty. We returned last Monday. And in front of our certified staff, I was telling Mr. Jim Silvers this earlier, not one person on my certified staff had ever lived through a hurricane. We have two classified employees who have been here for a while and who have been residents of the island. And so they provide a little bit of sensibility to the rest of us. But we were all first-timers. And what I want to tell you is we have learned so much during our rookie season, but we're glad to have our children back. We're glad to have our families back engaged in school. We really didn't lose very many. And I talked to Lanny about different, you know, places on the island and just checking in with our city employees. I am a proud resident of Orange Beach, Alabama. And I want to tell you, just yesterday, I had a family from Nashville come in to tour the school. And one of their comments to me was, well, they stayed over in Fort Walton and they drove over and they were so concerned because as they drove, they realized the destruction that Sally had caused and everywhere that they looked, it was destruction after destruction. And they were holding their breath and they got to Orange Beach and then all of a sudden it was like a glory land, right? And they said, well, what's the difference? Because they have two teenage kids and the kids said, there were two separate vehicles. And they said, well, this doesn't look like what we just went through. This place doesn't look like they were just in a hurricane. And so I know we live here and I know we experience frustrations and things of that nature, but to people who have vacationed here their whole lives and they're looking to move their family here, it was such an eye-opening experience to see destruction in our surrounding areas and to see what a fast pace we have taken as a community to get back on track, because normalcy is key. And for our youth, I can tell you it's key, but just as much so for our adults. And so thank you for the leadership. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of that. Many of our children volunteered and spent hours helping neighbors and families and at the point of distribution and food distribution. And so it provided some great experiences for our children. So I appreciate the opportunity to serve.
For those of you who don't know, that's Dr. McCoy, our high school principal. Can't recognize you in a mask. I do want to thank her. She was out there every day with her staff at the odd point of distribution with our kids out there making it work. So the high schoolers and middle schoolers work behind them. And they need to work. So thank you for that.
Two more things, sorry. Just comes through.
Two more questions.
Yes.
Anybody that needs to leave, go feel welcome. You're not going to offend me.
Hurricane decals, where can they pick them up?
Hurricane decals, finance. And Ford can't wait to see you. So 8 to 5 Monday through Friday. Anything you need to tell?
Yes, please bring your license. And also remember that we only give out four they're good for 3 years. And if you're renting, the owner needs to send an email to our office to say that if the renter's picking up the decals, that's brilliant. And your condo associations are the ones that have all the decals. ONO owners, your association has them. So please, if you're in a condo or on ONO, talk to your association before coming in.
And you can use the drive-through.
Yes.
Thank you for it. Drive-through, you said? You can go through drive-through.
Yeah, or the lobby's open as well.
All right.
Orange Beach Water Authority sent a message saying if you do evacuate, please turn off your water meter in case there's any leaks after the storm.
Okay. The Water Authority has asked that if we do evacuate, or if you evacuate, please turn your water meter off so that if there is devastation, we won't have the situation we had with Sally where water pressure was going down because of so many burst lines out to piers for the most part. It was a very scary situation, especially on ONO. So, yes, sir, Lynn.
And if you evacuate, also turn your grinder pump off.
Turn your grinder pump off if you evacuate as well. Okay. It should have a breaker on your box.
It's a breaker on the box outside on the wall.
And it should be labeled. Yes, sir.
This was my first hurricane as well. The question about, evacuation. What is the notification for people? Is it the radio? Is it the announcements on TV? I know there's a lot of elderly people in my neighborhood. How does that get out to us?
It should be all the above. It should be on your cell phone alert. Should be banners on the local TV stations. Maybe some of the national stations. Should be all over Facebook, social media. It'll be all over our website, our Facebook page. Where else will it be?
The governor
will do a press release. There'll probably be a press conference. So hopefully it will be out there everywhere.
Before we leave, I do want to say a couple things. Ford, first of all, the $990-something thousand savings is a huge deal on that bond. Thank you for taking the time and figuring it out and doing it. It does not go unnoticed. Chris Litton, to you and your team, can't say enough kudos. Y'all made us, not just you, every department, but what y'all did the day after with food and having it ready and your logistics made everybody look like heroes. And I just want a gratitude to you, Chief. The fire the night after the storm was huge in our neighborhood. We watched two homes just burn. Your guys swim hoses to get to a fire. Man, I got out there and it was just touching. And just to see the love they had for the families, the dedication they had to their jobs, to police, y'all's rescues, the night of the storm, and what the 911 calls. We set ourselves apart as a city that every city in this country would yearn to be. And it's the leadership of every department. Lanny and Kit, your department, stepping up. Jonathan, what y'all did at the sport, at the event center and at the sportsplex and here at the Center Cross, It was everywhere we went, everywhere we continue to go, everyone continues to say, y'all did a phenomenal job. And I'm going to be honest, we were there some of the part. I commend Mayor Kennan for letting people do their job. He guided them, and he let them have the autonomy to do what they do. And every one of you guys stepped up to just make us incredibly proud. And I'm proud to be here right now. So thank you all. Good job.
Most of you already heard me say this, but I think it needs to be said for anybody who might be on. You know, this was a unique storm. 5 o'clock Wednesday morning, when the winds are starting to slow down, our group people are there, ready to go to work. Power trucks are there, ready to go to work. Crowded Gus ready to go to work, and it's all because of relationships we built with these guys over the years. But we woke up to a post-hurricane scenario with an island full of people. And generally, with a post-hurricane scenario, everybody's gone. So we had an island full of people without power, essentially without food. Some of them had no clothes, no shower, no hot water. So it was a unique experience, and we scrambled. Jonathan, Chris, everybody. But I think, was it 42,000, roughly? 42,000 meals in 8 days, something like that? Give or take. It ain't got to be perfect. But, I mean, that's a lot of meals. That's a lot of meals. So,
43,403 meals.
Okay. So anyway, it was a very unique scenario. So again, it amplifies what the staff did over beyond what your normal post-hurricane scenario would be. So thank you guys. So, yes, sir. Great.
I personally witnessed that when I was doing my perimeter walk around Bear Point, and I'm on North Bay Shore Drive, and the van blows up. You know, wasn't sure it was anything. It was a city van. And Jonathan rolls down the window and says, "Y'all got dinner?" You know, he said, "Wait, hop in." So he said, "Hop in the truck." And I had six people staying in my guest house. And we had the Duffys there and the other house and three houses. And Jonathan, I hopped in this truck. He drove over there and dropped off, I think it was 14 dinners for all the workers and everybody that was working there. That highlights. He said, "Hop in the truck and tell me where your driveway is." So,
thank you, Greg.
Exactly what you
appreciate.
I also want to commend our residents for helping their neighbors. Our residents just rally to those that are around them, and thank you so much for helping those out in your neighborhood that needed the help. And before this other storm decides what it's going to do, just knock on their doors and check on them and see if they're okay and if there's anything they need. We have an amazing community that looks out for one another, so let's continue to do that.
I saw somebody last night that actually said, "I actually know who my neighbors are now." So it was great.
Where can donations be taken? Monetary or otherwise?
Christian Service Center, Island Church, or Inspiris is the three that we're looking at right now. Then you got, I think the Methodist Church may be taking some as well, because they did a great yeoman's job of getting out into helping clear yards and debris. So everybody had a niche to fill and played their role. So those are the four local, if anybody can think of anything else. But those are the four biggies, I think, that expended the most money probably to be a part of the cleanup of the whatever you want to call it, restroom. So. All righty. Well, if there's nothing else, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Well, Philip, I didn't mean to leave you and Wade out on that. Guys, good job as well. Sorry, I didn't mention you.
Move to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned.